Hi, I'm Chris Marie. I'm so glad you're listening. In conflict, do you ever walk on eggshells, avoid sharing your honest opinion, or even hesitate to say no? Well, no more. Susan and I created a Speak Up Kit just for you. It's an easy-to-use, proven step-by-step process to find your voice and reduce your stress. To learn more, go to thriveinc.com/speak up. That's www.thriveinc.com/speakup. Hi, I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
And I'm Susan Clark.
And today we're going to talk about igniting passion, intimacy, and connection. And what we mean is in your couple, the person that's your most primary.
And why we're talking about this today is, you know, a couple of years, two years ago, or a year and a half ago, we were talking about this because suddenly you and your person were at home together trying to navigate jobs, work, kids. All of a sudden, business was
very
personal.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of things are shifting and changing, and maybe you've gone back to work, or maybe at least it's not as stressful and you're out of the house some of the time and school isn't happening, all of those. But now there's still some challenges.
Well, with the economy the way it is, you like, are we in a recession? Is inflation happening? And, you know, the price of gas has gone up. So there's all this instability that we're bumping into in the marketplace, potential instability, but it's like things are erratic. And that can create, even in your psyche, a lot of uncertainty, which then you can also transmit into your relationship at home.
I know I'm coaching a lot of executives who are dealing with some of these challenges in the workplace and in terms of making decisions about how to save cost or not spend as much or potentially having to look at considering layoffs. And what I also notice is they're under a tremendous amount of stress. And my guess is, because I'm in coaching a lot of them, they seem to think they're doing a pretty good job of not showing it at work.
And, you know, sorry.
But I'm betting it's showing up somewhere, because I know a lot of times, it's showing up at home.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't even realize, oh, you know, maybe I need to take care of some of what's happening at home. And that's actually going to help me deal even more effectively at work.
It's so true. I was coaching one CEO, and he's from like a third world country, you know, now he's in the States, but he said, oh my gosh, things are so erratic. We had the lowest price of fuel that we'd had in 30 years, 6 months ago. Now we have the highest price of fuel that we have had in 40 years. He goes, that's like where I'm from. So it's like the level of shifting and changing and instability. And of course, if that is happening in our sphere, it's definitely going to affect your sense of survival, or am I thriving or surviving? And that I was laughing at. You said, you know, some of your executives were saying, oh, it doesn't show up at work. And I'm like, yeah, fat chance. I'm sure it is.
Where I think it shows up at work most frequently, at least one, is a lot. What people tend to do is go to the smart side. We talk about this idea of smart and healthy. And that's like, okay, if we could just figure out the right amount of money we need to save or the right things we need to do. And they're talking about it all and they're doing all the smart stuff. They're applying everything they learned about everything. and yet, you know, sometimes in the coaching, I'm like, so what's going underneath there? How are those emotions going? And
what emotions?
What emotions? This is not the time to be emotional. And it's like, okay, maybe, but are you? you might want to check in on that. And, you know, how often that emotional undertone is there. And if you're not dealing with it, it is showing up somewhere. So likely it's showing up either, you know, people in your workplace are kind of going, what the is going on with so-and-so? Or it's showing up at home in with your family, children, wife, husband, whoever it is.
Yeah. So, and there's this whole thing about we're primitive beings, and we actually like the sense of safety so that we can relax. And when we can have that sense of safety, which a lot of times equates to certainty. So here we are in this uncertain world, but oh my God, I want certainty. But you can find it inside yourself, and you can also find it inside your couple if you're aware of it. And one of the things, I was going to talk about the polyvagal theory. Would that be a good time?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm game. Let's go.
So just a little teeny nervous system education. We've got three different branches of our vagus nervous system. So we've got the sympathetic fight flight. We've also got the parasympathetic, and there's two branches of that. There's the one we share with prehistoric fish and mammals, or those aren't mammals. Prehistoric beings. And then there's also this, there's also this more modern one, which is that's the dorsal vagus system. And then we have this ventral vagus, which is all connected to our face. It goes down into our hearts and lungs. And it's how we actually regulate as modern beings, is why it's so important to actually be able to talk and feel and share what's going on and process. Because that actually, this parasympathetic branch of the vagus nerve actually goes down into our guts, where we turn on our rest and digest so our body can repair and get the nutrients it needs. When we're in that dorsal thing, that can freeze. So nothing's happening. We're just like frozen and we're not processing that. So one way to actually help regulate yourself is to talk about how you're feeling, talk about the stresses, not to marinate in them too long, but just to process through them and know, hey, wait a minute, I'm not alone. There is somebody here that cares about me, as a way of settling your nervous system. So you're turning back on that parasympathetic branch.
And I know that is vital. I mean, I think it's personally myself, I think it's vital in the workplace. And I know a lot of people are going to argue with me about that, but
Not trauma. There is now trauma-informed like leadership and people that are aware of trauma states.
You know, I know it's getting a little more press, kind of like Brené Brown with vulnerability. But for sure, that is so true in a couple and in your most significant relationships. And, you know, I would even go so far as to say, you know, with your children, you know, like your ability to actually be able to, right? Because they are monitoring off your facial expressions.
And your ability to regulate.
Yeah.
So coming back down that stress curve and be able to access that sense of safety is, crucial. Because we co-regulate with each other. So I can bet, listener, you've experienced this where you're having a fine day and your spouse comes in and they're all upset about something, yelling, negative. And all of a sudden you're like, this is pretty crappy. I feel like crud. And you start to join in or entrain with them. And that's because your nervous system is aligning with them. That's not necessarily, it's a good to notice. And it's also, you can start to interrupt that pattern that starts to happen as you entrain to somebody who's in a negative state.
So what are some of the ideas you have about how to kind of, I know you've talked a few things. We always talk about breathing. So I'm sure there's a couple of
those. Well, before we go there, let's even talk about what may trigger you to co-regulate in a negative state. And let's say somebody is saying something and in their rant, they're actually saying something negative about you. We talked about this in our feedback, the executive skill nobody talks about, is you could have a relationship trigger. This is like, maybe Susan, I come in and I've just gone grocery shopping and I made sure I picked up your dry cleaning and I stopped by and I come in and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you're late. Now I'm entertaining everybody here on the deck. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how can you be mad at me? I just did this, that, and the other thing. And I'm missing that you're worried about me being late. Like, that's a different topic than I'm just feeling attacked. So I have that relationship trigger. How dare you?
Yes. I mean, that's a great example. And, you know, honestly, I'm probably triggered because, you know, I've got people out on the deck that apparently I am supposed to be entertaining in that scenario. And I'm sure that is why I'm like, why is she late? You know, like, how should you be late? You know?
Another common one for me that is the identity trigger. And you should, if you haven't heard the feedback podcast, the executive skill no one talks about, that's a good one to listen to. But the identity trigger, and this can happen, I notice this happens a lot for me. Like, Susan, you'll come in and you'll be upset about something. And all of a sudden, I'll think, oh my gosh, I did it wrong. I've got to fix it. And I immediately try to fix what can I do differently? Okay, I'll change this. I'll do that. And I'm just kind of collapsing inside thinking, oh my God, I'm bad. I'm wrong. You know, this is not okay. I am not okay. And so I lose my sense of ground of who I am. And those can be, so this again, you're dysregulated because you're upset about something. And then I dysregulate because I think, oh my God, I'm a horrible person. I need to fix it for her to love me. Otherwise, she's going to abandon me and bad things are going to happen.
And, you know, I think the hardest part about this is that we all, you know, it's not about not ever causing your partner to destabilize because you're going to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but I think that's there's a desire, life. You know, it's kind of like a do no harm. And it's like, you know, that it's actually an impossible quest. Mm-hmm. I mean, the best you can do is notice when somebody seems to have had a reaction and do your best to just hold space, not try to fix them. Because I think that's, you know, we have a tendency like, if you think you're bad, then I think I did something that made you feel bad. And then we're in some kind of crazy cycle.
Ping-ponging back and forth.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
And what would be way more helpful is to just be able to notice, okay, what's going on, Kristen Marie, something. And usually, and I think this comes up with us, you'll say to me, you know, I think I'm wrong. And I'm like, I didn't like it. I don't think I'm glad you're taking care of yourself, I didn't like it. So that's why you're getting anything from me. I don't want that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I really have to separate you being upset and about something I'm doing from the idea of whether it's good or bad, like, or whether I'm good or bad, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, that's just Susan over in her bubble. And she's able to feel however she feels about you have a right to feel upset about me choosing to go to rehearsal for a play practice. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I'm wrong for choosing to go to play practice. And that is, or rehearsal, that is a real untangling that I am consciously working on. Mm-hmm. And the best, you know, like we're in relationships. And I think what somebody has often said, like, you're in this relationship and the other person is going to bring up all the Swiss cheese holes in your psyche that you have not dealt with. And the idea is not to think, okay, this is the wrong person. I can find the one that's not going to bring up my Swiss cheese holes that I have pain around. It's more, oh, this is an opportunity for me to look at how I keep creating and falling into, you know, this negative pattern. And so one of the best things to do is to notice it, like you were saying, Susan, and then find ways that you can self-soothe in that moment and not go down that neural track of I'm bad and wrong and I'm a horrible person. I know it's like defying gravity. It's a tough choice, but you can do it. And one of my mantras, even when you're upset, Susan, is, help me looking at her and saying to myself, I'm not bad. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm actually worthy of love. And that's a little mantra for me to say to counter the automatic reaction that I am.
And, you know, I know, you know, and of course you're going through what you're going through. And at times it also will trigger my own sense of stability. And it's great if I'm kind of in a great place and I'm like, and also a compassionate place where I'm like, well, I get it. That how I'm just communicating is causing you a lot of angst. You know, and if I'm in a great place, fine. If I'm not in a great place, then same thing. I need to go do something to, for me, I often need to take a break, like, and go do something that will lay down and breathe or go for a run or actually go do some wild dancing, you know, move my energy. Because if I don't, I will end up taking it out on you which is never particularly useful.
We talk about this in our toxic team killers. When somebody is stonewalling or, you know, you're not able to get through, sometimes couples are just kind of hanging in and getting more and more messy. And it's really your system, your nervous system is in that fight, flight, or freeze mode. And your IQ is dropped 10 to 15 points. And you're not really going to be able to get out of it until you do just what you said, like separate, take a breath, settle yourself down. And I think in the beginning of our relationship, Susan, I would be like, you need to be different because this is hard for me. So you need to treat me better so that I can feel safe. And as I've matured, I have, I think, more and more times taken like, oh no, this is me and I need to take care of me. No matter what you're doing, not relying on you to be different.
Right.
But I'm going to go take care of myself.
I mean, we started this podcast off, you know, with the idea of passion,
intimacy
and connection. And I think so often people think passion doesn't always look soft and close and cuddly, mm-hmm. you know?
Or even close, hot and sexy.
Yeah. I mean, passion requires me to show up and hopefully you to show up. And then there's actually a possibility there. But at least one of us shows up with our full, I'm all in, even if it's not what you like, I'm all in, I'm bringing my passion. And too often I've seen, especially in couples, you know, like, oh, that's too risky, you know, and I may.
Yeah, I don't want to rock the boat. You know, I have to walk on eggshells. And when I'm doing that, I am creating my own prison and my own misery. And it is learning. And this is a cultivation. It is not like for me to be able to be willing to say, no, I disagree, or that's how it landed over here. And then watch the reaction, which you don't see my hand, but it's going up and down. Like the reaction can be loud over there, which I'm learning to take care of, like, that still does not mean I'm bad or wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm holding steady. And the more I can stabilize myself, the more of me I bring forward. And that's that, again, that passion. Mm-hmm. We go back to relationship math. One whole person times one whole person equals a relationship. One whole person times a half of a person. If one of us only shows up halfway, which I can do, then we get half of a relationship.
Or if we both show up halfway, it's gets even worse. It's a quarter of the relationship. So you can see the diminishing returns when you don't take that risk of, oh, this is going to be uncomfortable, but I'd rather show up and be in this comfort,
discomfort
for, you know, some period of time to see if mm-hmm. where we go, then hold back and be stuck in this place of sort of my own prison or misery and become resentful. Because eventually that resentment, I'd say that more than anything else, is what destroys relationships.
It does. I was thinking of a couple of different things. One, when I see you upset and I go to fix or change, that's by the way, that's me shrinking to a half, because you have a right to feel how you feel and you can take care of your own emotions. But when I can actually, if I'm not triggered or if I can stabilize and feel my sense of regulation, so I'm self-soothing, that's probably the best thing for co-regulating at a different state. Like, me joining on the bandwagon certainly does not help us, the system of you and I, to stabilize. But it's this kind of David Snarch talks about this in a couple's book, that the best thing you can do when your partner is going crazy or whatever they're doing, destabilized, is to actually be grounded and in yourself. Be available for contact, but just to settle yourself down.
And again, you know, we talk about this all the time. Our book, The Beauty of Conflict for Couples, has a lot of this in it. We also do our workshop and Couples Alive, which we offer in person as well, at, you know, up at the Haven. And part of the reason we're also talking about it now is because it may, you know, it does, the people we see in the business world with all the challenges that they're facing, and you may be in a relationship where each of you is in a very different set of circumstances related to your business, like in different jobs and potentially high stress jobs. And that environment may be incredibly challenging right now. And so it becomes even more important to have some place to be able to kind of drop in and be able to talk about what's really going on. Because you may not be able to do that. I mean,
On Zoom.
Yes. And I mean, we hope that, you know, you have a team of people, your closest peers or a leadership team where you could do some of that, but that's a stretch, and especially in these kind of times. So it really becomes more important to be able to do that at home with your most significant other.
And that's accessing that ventral vagal system and helping you co-regulate and process your day. So many couples don't. And we really, especially if you're off doing different things, spending 15 minutes just kind of debriefing, like, this was my day for 5 minutes, the wife goes, and then the husband just listens. And then the 5 minutes, the husband goes and the wife just listens. And then the last 5 minutes, you dialogue.
Or the wife goes and the wife goes.
Yes.
And, you know, or, you know, we
or
don't,
the husband,
we don't,
husband.
We could do all sorts of stuff with that. And the idea being you each have the space to kind of take that time.
And you know, another thing, Susan, because we got into one of these dysregulated bumps this morning. And you came back after doing a coaching session with somebody else and said, you know, I think we should talk about this. And I said, well, I don't want it, you know, I don't think it will go well. And you were, your answer was, it doesn't matter if it goes well or not. We need to talk about it because it's in the room, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that. It's kind of a meditative practice we do internally, is if you have sensations, go towards, even if the contraction, go towards the pain and be with it, as opposed to resisting or pretending it's not there or trying to rise above it. Because in your body, in a couple, that duff doesn't go away. I'll just say that.
I really love that you brought up the meditation thing, because there's just a lot of emphasis these days on mindfulness and meditation. And I think so often people think of that as, okay, it's a way to, place to go to being calm. But, maybe.
But if you're lucky.
but also there are times, and meditation is really a great opportunity to kind of really become intimate with something that inside of you that is very uncomfortable, maybe pain, maybe incredible frustration over something from work. And to be able to sit in that, I mean, there is a, I don't know the woman's name, but I was reading about it in the New York Times about fierce meditation. And I like that concept, because she was talking about this idea that meditation isn't about getting away from something. It's actually about embracing it, giving it kind of that, even giving aspects of yourself a place to land and be felt and be acknowledged. So this is, it happens inside of you. It happens between you and your most significant other. It happens in your workplace. So these are all places to be aware of, how do you deal with that without trying to just get rid of it.
I think actually dis-ease, whether it's inside the body or in a relationship, out in a couple or in a team and a business, is when we're unwilling to feel. And so we do a whole bunch of crazy behavior to not feel, whether that's blame the other person or blame ourselves, or it's all sorts of things. And so the more we can learn to drop in, feel our sensations, notice and regulate what we need to inside, all of that shifts. And of course, people that we live with in our couple, people that we work with, are huge triggers. And it's not the, again, I thought, oh, I've got to change all the triggers, get a different relationship, get a different job. And it's like, no, those are gifts, because no matter where you go, there you are. People are going to trigger you. So it's a couple is a great opportunity for you to see what I call, and our mentor Joanne Peterson called, Swiss cheese holes. Like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with that. I'm freaking out. They're opportunities.
All right. Well, hopefully you found this helpful.
And just so you know, we are doing Couples Alive in August, depending on when you listen to this. It's August 18th through the 22nd up at Haven on Gabriola Island in British Columbia, which is right on the water. It's beautiful. If you'd like to come join us and take some time to deep dive and process what is happening in your couple and come out more passionate, intimate, and connected.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you found today's episode valuable. We know you're busy, and we want to make it easy for you to understand how conflict may be showing up in a way that's impacting your team negatively. We recorded the first 3 chapters of our book for you to listen to for free.
Get your free audio sample at thriveinc.com/free sample. That's thriveinc.com/FREESAMPLE.